You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert. Coming up, modern scientists are using age-old climate data that are hundreds of years old. We talk with a UW scientist about how it's benefited his research. First, if you're looking to hire people for your business, it might seem natural to go for people that you know and that you like, but a social relationship can make managing an employee difficult, and it can cause problems with people who work for you who aren't in the friend circle. Well, we want to hear about your experiences working with your friends, being the boss maybe of a friend, at 800-642-1234. Have you ever hired a friend or ended up working for a friend? Did it change your relationship, and would you do it again? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Well, our next guest has some specific advice for what to consider before offering that friend a job. Tom Scriver teaches entrepreneurship at the Johnson School at Cornell University. And Tom, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. Well,
great.
First of all, is it always a bad idea to hire somebody who's your friend?
No, I wouldn't say that at all. Sometimes it can be very valuable to have somebody who knows you well, knows what you're good at, knows what you're not good at. And sometimes you need that person on your team who's willing to say when the emperor has no clothes.
And so how do you assess whether it's going to be a good thing to have that friend on board or it's going to cause problems down the road?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no easy way or a simple litmus test. I think the first thing that you need to be really thinking about is the fact that no matter how much you might hope or intend for the relationship to go well while you're working together, there's always a chance that it doesn't. Just like people who get married always think they're going to be together for life, but then, you know, a lot of marriages do end in divorce. You have to think ahead about what that might be like. So my first advice for people who are thinking about working together is not to enter into that work relationship unless you're willing to take the risk that it might end your friendship as well. And so I think kind of being upfront about that with each other and saying, look, you know, this might go badly, and what does it mean if it does? And if you're not willing to have that conversation just as openly as I just said it, then that's probably a good sign that it might be better to pass.
So if we did decide to hire that friend, what do they need to know? So part of it is on us because we're the person who's hiring them. In a way, we'll be the responsible party. But what should you do if you're the friend who's considering that job?
Yeah, so it's actually the same kind of things that you would do taking any job with one or two additional components. So the thing that I would tell anybody who's taking a job is to say, understand really, really well what that enterprise that you're about to join, that organization you're about to join, what are they about? What's their mission? What's their vision? How do they create value? Who are they doing it for? What kind of problems do they solve? And where does your role that you're about to take fit into that? What is your part of that machine? Where do you fit? And I don't just mean from the point of view of, you know, Steve reports to Sally who reports to Joe, but really how does your role kind of work in that chain of creating value for the customers or people who are served by that organization? So that's advice I think that's true for anybody regardless of where they're going. When it comes to the friend relationship, it really takes an extra level to make sure that you understand that extremely well, because if you do have a friend relationship with somebody, kind of recorrecting them, if you will, and that process of saying, hey, you know what, you're not kind of integrating with the company exactly right, you know, the stakes get a little bit higher. You want to start on the right foot. The other thing that I think is really critically important about the relationship piece is having an upfront conversation to say, okay, you know, you and I are friends outside of work. We might go to a ball game together or hang out together, and we'll act a particular way in that context. Maybe we'll tease each other or have, you know, some form of banter. Is that okay in a work setting or isn't it? How do I deal with you when I'm around coworkers that's different than how I might deal with you when we're at friends or at a college reunion?
Let's take a caller now as we talk to Tom Scriver, talking about when it's okay to hire a friend. He says if you're going to do it, you really have to think carefully about it. He's got some very specific advice for what to do when you're considering hiring that friend. And also, if you're the friend who's looking for a job from a friend, What do you need to do to protect yourself? Well, you can call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can always post on the Central Time Facebook page. And let's go to a caller now. We've got Kat on the line with us in Madison. Kat, hi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Sure.
What did... Well, I just want to weigh in. I've been a store manager for probably 8 years, and I have hired people that are friends. I've rehired people that used to work there before I took over, and I've had nothing but negative experiences personally with laying down the law, you know, and just saying, hey, you didn't follow the rules that apply to everyone else, so now you're getting written up. And I've had people say, well, I thought we were friends, and if you proceed with this write-up, I'm going to walk out. And I've had to say, well, I can't treat you any differently, and that's the way that it is. So I now really avoid that in general, and if I do get close to someone at work, it's only after they've worked for me for about a year or two, so I can make sure that level of respect has already been built up.
So, Kat, it sounds like you have lost friendships because of this situation.
Oh, absolutely. Yep, it's happened to me twice, and, you know, probably in my first year or two of management, and I've sworn off of it. I've had people I know, even casual acquaintances, say, oh, can I work for you? And now I say, nope. If I've had even one drink with you outside of work, you cannot work for me.
Kat, thanks a lot for that perspective. Kat has had nothing but negative experiences from it. And one thing that comes up there is, you know, if you do hire a friend, let's say maybe they sneak through those filters you want us to try, Tom, but they get a job with us and it doesn't work out. I mean, should you be prepared to lose the friendship walking into that arrangement? Should you know that that is something that could happen?
Absolutely. I mean, I think you have to be very comfortable with that eventuality. And like I said before, you don't go in hoping that that's going to happen. You hope that won't happen. But the alternatives are these, and I think the caller did a great job of laying it out. Either you let go of that friend who's not performing, or you lose the respect of everybody else in the organization. All it takes is one instance where there's clear feeling of kind of nepotism or favoritism, and then that person who isn't your friend, who might be well-performing, is going to say, this isn't a level playing field. I should go take my talent somewhere else. So if you want to create a fair organization where you get the best out of everybody, you need to show very actively that you're putting everybody on an even playing field, whether or not they have a social relationship with you or not.
Kat, thanks a lot for the call and for sharing your story. And we're going to go next to Jean, joining us in Clintonville. Hi, Jean.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thanks.
My situation is a little bit different. I work in a big clinic, and my daughter is the supervisor. And when I found out that she got the job, we both sat together and we agreed that when I'm in the building, she is the boss. I'm just another worker, you know, getting through the day. But when I get out of the building, I'm mom. And we've been doing this for over 6 years and it's been working out fine.
Oh, that...
We even live next door to each other.
So it sounds like you two have a very healthy relationship, some healthy boundaries there at work, too. And that's an interesting one, a family relationship. Thanks a lot, Jean, for sharing your story. What do you think about that, Tom?
Yeah, family businesses are a just tremendous and interesting area of themselves. And I think this is an interesting example of when you have a little kind of microcosm of a family business inside an existing one. That intergenerational interplay, boy, I got to say, just like you did, it sounds like they have a great relationship with each other. You know, I love my mom, but boy, I can't imagine trying to replicate that myself. I don't think it would work very well. So it's a great example of there's no single rule for everybody. That upfront boundary setting, I think, must have been so tremendously important. The fact that they sat down and had that honest conversation to start to say, this is how we're going to be together at work, and this is how we're going to be together at home, and they can be different. And I think if they weren't willing to have that conversation, I would have guessed that it would have been a different outcome.
What do you think about husbands and wives working in the same workplace? Is that something that you think you can apply these same rules to and maybe get a healthy outcome?
Yeah, I think for most of the people that I know, and I would put myself in this category with my wife as well, you know, I don't think that I think we're better as a couple at home, and I think it's good for us to have a little bit of distance. I know people who do work together as husbands and wives, and have made a success of that. The most frequent scenario, though, is where you have people who have very clearly different skill sets. So, for example, you know, maybe the wife is a landscape architect and the husband is somebody who's good at business management and operations. And so the husband's out there, you know, selling clients, and then the wife is doing the landscape design and the work that is truly her space. And so, you know, getting back to that word we just used, boundaries, those boundaries are really clear. And I think those are the instances where I've seen that situation work the best and in the most healthy way.
Tom, we leave it there. Thanks a lot for being with us today.
You bet. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
That was Tom Scriver. He teaches entrepreneurship at the Johnson School at Cornell University, and he runs business incubation programs at Cornell and in the Ithaca community.